Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
From the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Friday, April 16th. The time is 10:06 a.m. And hey, we are here in studio, ready for another great show, ready to send you into the weekend, and ready for arguably the biggest baseball series in Knoxville in 30 years. Gentlemen, welcome into the show today. Hey, no matter where you're listening today, no matter how you are listening to the program today, thank you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for making us a part of your morning. Guys, we got a big show today. Huge. The series begins tonight against Vanderbilt at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. We'll be getting you ready for that game all show long. We certainly got other stuff to talk about, but that right now is what I'm most fired up about here on a Friday morning. I know these guys feel the same way, but hey, I'll ask them themselves. My name is Rick Butler. To my left, that is Brandon Orrick. To my right, Charlie Collier. And, of course, the one and only Chance Collins back behind the booth. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. How are y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, Rick. Doing pretty good.
Okay, good to hear.
No. What? Okay.
It's my new Friday thing.
Top of the world, Rick. Wasn't feeling great when I woke up this morning, but I got my gas station biscuit, my bang, and I'm ready for possibly the biggest series in our school's history. I am fired up.
Huge. Huge baseball series. Glad to hear you're doing good. Chance, what about you?
Feeling pretty good. Excited about the series this weekend. Might even be able to get over there on Saturday if anything happens. Because that's about the only time that I'm going to get a chance to get over there. But, yeah, feel pretty good. I'm still reeling off a lot of basketball news, though, yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
As well, though. I mean, I'm very much excited about Tennessee's opportunity to really solidify themselves as a real contender. I mean, I think that they have for the season for the most part right now. But if you were to take this series against Vanderbilt over the weekend, that's everything.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, they've already kind of solidified themselves as a contender. But, I mean, it's an in-state rival. It's a top three team in the country. And it's a battle for first place in the SEC East. And depending on what Arkansas does, could be for first in the entire SEC.
Yeah. I mean, even propel you to put yourself maybe first in the nation. And that's why, obviously, it's huge, too. And when I say, you know, really solidify themselves, like you said, and I said, too, they have. But I think this solidifies you nationally as a powerhouse and puts everyone on notice.
The nation will be tuned in this weekend to Knoxville as it is one of the biggest series in all of college baseball. It is huge. Again, like you guys are saying, not just for the SEC, but also just for college baseball in general. So, of course, we will have you ready for that game today. Coming up at 11:15, just like we do every Friday, we are talking to Logan Quinton right here on the show as he gets us ready for the game. Man, he's got a lot of great stuff that you are going to want to know before this series gets underway. So be sure to be tuned in right there at 11:15. Chance, you mentioned basketball. I got to be honest. It feels like the Huntley-Hatfield news was days ago, but in fact, it was just yesterday. I feel like we've been talking about it so much since it happened. After you had to leave the show yesterday, it's pretty much all Brandon and I talked about the whole rest of the show. Massive, massive news yesterday as 2021 five-star power forward Brandon Huntley-Hatfield commits to Tennessee, reclassifies to get in the class, and joins an already loaded recruiting class at Tennessee. But this was the news. You know, there's certainly good news along the way and good news that even could have turned into great news. But this was the news that I think that a lot of Tennessee fans were hoping to hear this offseason.
Yeah, and I think it feels like it was, you know, months back because of how much we speculated that Huntley-Hatfield was going to commit. You know, we talked about so much about him reclassifying, and we really had our hopes and expectations, and it seemed like the crystal balls and all the experts were really saying that Tennessee had a good chance, and they sealed the deal. So that's probably what it does feel like. You know, that news is ancient because we've been talking about it for months now.
Yeah, we have. So that is big. Let's see the rankings real quick. I know that right as we were getting off the show yesterday, I believe that
number two.
Okay, that's what I thought. Number two right now in the college basketball recruiting rankings
in the country
for the 2021 class. You're sitting right behind Michigan. You got 2 5-stars, 2 4-stars, and a 3. Not too shabby as just, 3 weeks ago you were sitting with 2.
Mm-hmm.
Sit with Chandler and Meshack. And we were saying right then that, you know, hey, we know that things are going to happen, you know, later on down the road, but that's all right for right now. Like, that's pretty good. Still got a 5-star Kennedy Chandler, number 2 point guard in the country. But really, in the last couple weeks, this Tennessee team is locked down. They've been able to get guys like Jonas Adu, somebody who they were not expecting to get until Justin Gainey kind of joined the staff.
Oh, yeah. You got Michigan in front of you. Behind you, Florida State, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, Gonzaga, Michigan State, Baylor, and Alabama. And that feels pretty damn good for Tennessee basketball recruiting. When you got those elite programs behind you, you always say, Brandon, look at the teams that the recruit is being recruited by. Look at the teams that Tennessee is in front of right now. And maybe it's early. Maybe some of these teams jump you. But you're in front of the Blue Bloods. And you're in front of the team also that played for the national championship and the national champion.
I don't know if anybody's going to – that you might be jumped a little bit, but,
yeah.
I mean, you've got 2 5-stars,
yeah.
and 2 4-stars.
2
pretty highly ranked 4-stars. I said it yesterday.
Rick Barnes doing work.
I said it yesterday. You're getting all the pieces in. You've got the talent. Now go win.
Yeah, we talked about it. We've been talking about that for years now. Rick Barnes can be that recruiter. I mean, we saw the recruits he pulled in at Texas, and all Tennessee fans wanted to see, like, hey, man, we want some Kevin Durant's. We want some TJ Ford's. You know, we want some Miles Turner, like guys like that. And once he, you know, established himself here and winning and creating a culture, building a program, that's what you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years in a row he's signed a pretty good class. More than pretty good. Last year was a spectacular class. This mm-hmm. year, even better. But the thing about this class that's different from the last two is it feels like it makes just more sense, functionality-wise, basketball-wise, for what you want to do and what your roster needs and for guys to be able to play well together.
Well, two, you bring in the 2 5-stars, the 2 extremely talented players that you're bringing in, are positions of dire need that you've not had in a while. Since that 2018 team that went to the Sweet 16 when you had Kyle Alexander and Jordan Bone. a big man and a point guard, and you fill those needs with this class. So,
I mean, it feels like that's how Rick Barnes' offense operates best, is when you have a true big man and a true point guard. I mean, all the credit in the world to Rick Barnes this offseason for really just taking a look at his roster and accepting his own failures as a coach and then working hard to fix them and completely rebuild the roster. It's crazy that you're going to lose one of the best defenders in school history, 2 5-stars that will both potentially be first-rounders, and potentially, you know, a 5-year guy that started for several years, and then you're going to come back the next year with an even better roster.
Yeah. It's I like you said, I think you got to tip your cap to Barnes. Took a lot of heat, took a lot of criticism, and deservingly so for the way that the team performed this season, and especially in the postseason. But completely revamped this roster and this coaching staff. And like you said, Charlie, I'm not going to say it yet, and I said this yesterday. I don't want to overhype this roster like I think we might have done a little bit last year, but the potential is there for this roster to be something extremely special.
Yeah, and I'll go back to him. We said in the offseason, I don't think we really overhyped. I mean, they just didn't meet expectations. Like, maybe at some points we got a little bit too excited about guys, but that's what we do as commentating on what's happening with the program. And that's what fans do. We're also fans. So I don't think we necessarily overhyped. Just disappointed that they failed to meet some of the expectations that they clearly should have met.
Yeah, I just don't think we really realized that John Fulkerson was just going to struggle the way he did at the five, and we weren't going to have a true point guard emerge from, you know, that group of Vescovi, Keon Johnson, and Jaden Springer like we thought we would see. But, I mean, I'm excited for this year. Hopefully, looking at his failures in building the roster and correcting those isn't the only self-scouting or self-analysis and then corrections that Rick Barnes does. Hopefully he can also kind of learn from last year and try to modernize his offense a little bit. And hopefully maybe we can finally see the end of the constant mid-range shots. That's a lot to ask for, though. But hopefully.
See what happens. I don't know. I mean, if you can hit them. If you can hit them, I mean.
No, it's the worst shot in basketball. Shoot from in the paint or from behind the arc. I
mean, analytically, it is right now.
It is the worst shot in basketball.
But, you know, I'm also excited for some of these players coming in. I think they're super, all probably really super excited to play with Kennedy Chandler.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have some depth, which is nice, too. In the paint specifically, which we just didn't have at all. Because now, I mean, now Jonas Adu doesn't have to start because he will not be ready to start. He won't be strong enough, in my opinion. So that's what Hatfield Huntley gives you as well, is allowing Adu to come off the bench and be a good bench defender. You know, maybe spread you out a little bit because he can weirdly shoot a little bit. But yeah, I mean, this roster is just shaping up to be really good. I hate to say that. I'm scared to say that after what happened last year. But, I mean, it should be, on paper, even a much better roster than last year and one of the best rosters in the country.
It's pretty crazy. You have, like, a full starting lineup just with the guys coming in. You could run an entire starting lineup. And you know what? It wouldn't be bad. It wouldn't be bad. If you had Kennedy Chandler at the point, you had Jamai Meshack to the, you know, as his number two, Powell at the three, Adu at the five, and Huntley Hatfield at the four. Although those are more positionless, interchangeable. But either way, that would be a pretty good starting five. So not only are you bringing that into the program, you are adding it to, like, what you guys have been saying, right? You still got talent right there. And Brandon and I were looking at it yesterday, kind of going over not just what we thought the starting lineup might look like, but also the rotation. There's a lot of new faces without many returning ones that we see being a big factor in the lineup. So huge changes right now to Tennessee offseason. It's only been about 3 weeks, too, if you can believe that. So we'll continue to talk a little bit about the roster, a little bit about the changes going on at, or excuse me, I guess with the Tennessee basketball team, and so on and so forth. But guys, we got to take a break right now. Jump back on the other side. On the other side, though, start getting into some of the big conversation about today. Remember, we're going to be talking about the Tennessee basketball team, Tennessee baseball team, as we are getting ready for one of, if not the biggest series in Tennessee baseball in the last 3 decades. It's going to be fun. I can't wait for it. Hey, stick around. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. What is your favorite DMX song?
Damien. It's of his first album. It's Dark and Hell is Hot.
Where the Hood At?
Very good one, too.
I like it. I like it.
This one's a classic. X gonna give it to you.
Yeah.
That's the one you were talking about.
That was going to be mine. That song right there, right when you started playing it, made me think of a movie from my childhood. I feel like a sports movie.
I think it was
Kangaroo Jack.
Was it Hardball?
Close. Was it Like Mike?
Might have been that. I thought maybe it was. I thought it was
Kangaroo Jack. Yeah, okay. Like, I'm pretty confident it was.
I've never seen it, so it honestly could have been. Oh man, I got to think of it now.
I thought it was Hardball. Maybe
it was. Such
I don't see. I don't think I've ever seen that one either.
With Keanu Reeves.
There's just such a specific scene.
In Deadpool when he's dancing. I feel like. In one of the scenes.
I feel like it's very frequently used.
Yeah,
I think it's in a lot.
I'm thinking of a sports movie, like a very specific sports scene, though. I'll figure it out. But either way, guys, it is a fun day. It's a Friday. It's a nice day outside. Hopefully you get a chance to go outside. But if you do, remember, got to be a little bit careful around this time of the year. Everybody is trying to go outside, trying to enjoy the day. So if you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helmy.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. Again, that's g3helpme.com. With that being said, Chance, what do you say we head over to the G3 Help Me hotlines right now and get a call from our Friday favorite, get a call from Phil. Good morning. Welcome into the show today, Phil. How's it going?
Good morning, Fabulous.
Hey, I'll tell you right now before you even ask, I'm doing good. We're doing good. We got a baseball game today. We can't wait.
Well, I was going to ask Chancellor and Brandon and Chuck how they're doing, but I guess you already answered for them. That's pretty cool.
I stole their thunder. I'm so excited about this. I'll give them the floor now.
I was going to say spectacular if you asked, Phil.
Well, yeah, if Tennessee can at least win 2 out of 3, I don't think there's any way you're going to sweep them. But if you win 2 out of 3, at the worst, you got to win one of them anyway.
Yeah, can't get swept. Can't get swept this weekend.
But that was a big thing yesterday. And by now, Tennessee's got a pretty lethal starting lineup.
Yeah.
They can do 2 or 3 tops lineups if they want to. It's be interesting to see how they do it.
Yeah, I think you definitely have some options that you can work with next year. And I really wonder what this lineup is going to look like at the beginning of the season, how it's going to change throughout the season. Because like we said, I mean, you're almost bringing in a competent starting lineup, you know, one that could compete. So bringing in so many faces, how are they going to all mix together? You got to hope that this new assistant coaching staff and all the pieces can function and you can really get some good production out of this unit.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll have a real summer like they didn't have last year to
and that's get a great
players
point.
Develop.
I think that's an excellent point that I know that we all – I'm not going to say that, you know, nobody's thinking about or nobody's talking about because how could you not? Like, this is so ingrained in our lives, but I think that we're really going to see it on the other side, right, when you get all these seasons coming up next where you do get back to a full, normal, traditional schedule, and you do get to see these guys work together before the season a lot more. I really think that's going to help everybody involved.
I guess old Hatfield won the fall chancellor of Knoxville, didn't he?
I might have put in a word for you.
Yes, sir.
I see yesterday Bobby Mays was on a radio show, and he compared him to Michael Beasley and said he's Wayne Chisholm times 10. That's pretty big accolades for a young man.
I like Wayne that. Chisholm times 10?
Wow.
Michael Beasley.
I think Wayne Chisholm times 10 is just a superhuman.
Bobby Mays said this too. Like, that's some credibility.
Yeah. And then also you say Michael Beasley. I mean, he was one of the best freshmen we've seen in the last 20 years. I think he had the freshman record for double-doubles at Kansas State. He had a beast year. His freshman of the year, I'm pretty positive.
So he also said this, Brandon Huntley Hatfield. And I heard John talking about this right after we had left the show yesterday. But here's what Huntley Hatfield told ESPN, quote, "Coach Barnes has coached and helped mold one of the best players to ever walk the earth. Kevin Durant. He said, I'm looking for him to do the same exact thing, or if not similar, something similar with me. I feel like with his knowledge coupled with my skills, we can have something beautiful. I'm just super excited to get with him, the staff, and my teammates." He is already talking about how, hey, Coach Barnes, I see what you did with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, one of the greatest players to ever hold a basketball in his hands. So I wonder how much you're going to see something like that. Maybe Barnes kind of takes a similar route, or maybe Barnes knows what you can do with a guy who's 6'9", who can also ball handle at the top of the key.
Well, obviously they're 6'11".
Wow. They have, you know, on the site it's listed 6'9", but, you know, Bobby
they
Mays
don't
probably
matter
been.
How you play. That's all that matters. But you look at the last year, Tennessee had lack of size inside, and now they've got, you know, they got size and can fend the rim now.
Man, I'm sure he feels like a guy who's 6'11 down by the rim, and I'm sure he might even feel like maybe a 6'6 guard up top almost. I think he is that good.
The key next year on the inside is how quickly the kid from North Carolina, Adu, matures. But until he matures, I don't know if he's going to start Fulkerson at the five. But Fulkerson will be major. He'll play both the four and the five, and that way you got a pretty good man rotation in those two positions. Now, the if Conwell can come around and play, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. We'll find out this year, or it'll be time to cut bait with him.
Well,
this is it for him.
Yeah, and to go back to what you just said, you would also expect, and somebody, if you have a different thought, let me know. But you would expect, I would assume, Huntley Hatfield to have the freedom to move around the court in its entirety, not just have to stay down low because he's so big. So you are going to have to rely on that other guy, whether it's Fulkerson, whether it's Adu, to be still a very strong rim presence, right? Because, you do know that at any given time, Huntley Hatfield could be at the top of the key behind the three-point line. So that means Fulkerson's going to have to be down low, mucking it up a little bit.
Yeah, the key is to find that fourth post player. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't think it'll be Euros, and I don't think Tom will be ready because they're going to sign him pretty soon. So,
it'd be cool if it was Euros.
Yeah. And guard play, the only weakness we got at guard, I think, is who's going to be the backup point guard. Are you going to let Vasco be the backup point guard, which is not, you know, he's not terrible, but he's not, you know, an elite point guard. But how many teams have two elite point guards on their roster?
Not many. Justin Powell's listed as a point guard. I think
he could play some point.
So I'm really excited about that guy.
I mean, just like you mentioned earlier, Phil, the most exciting thing to me is just the versatility that you now have in your lineups. And, you know, if you can match different team styles and you can feel comfortable with the guys you're putting on the floor and being able to do different things, whether you want to go small ball, you want to go big, you know, you want to slow things down and play defense, or you want to get out and run, you have the lineups that can do that, which is not something we were afforded last year.
Yeah, and hopefully Triple J can have a year where he's not hurt. He's been both of his first 2 years, he's been hurt during the year, and it's stunned his development. He could have a big year also. He's a guy who can play the point guard position and for a few minutes you have to.
Who are some of the other guys that we have seen in their Tennessee career kind of have not – and I'm not saying that he's had a slow start by any means, but how many have we kind of seen just – you know, be one of the guys in the pack a little bit, but really towards the end of their career, they really make a jump up with this development. I think Pons comes to mind.
Yeah, Pons is good.
Kevin Punter, I think, comes to mind a little bit. Wasn't he one of those guys that stayed here a while?
He was here for 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
One of those was with Barnes, and
it was those Barnes
he
developed
his
him,
shot,
and Barnes developed him into a much better player that really led Barnes' first year team when he got here.
There's more than I'm thinking of, but you know, development is a key, and I think that's going to be crucial for him going forward. But man, so many possibilities with this roster right now.
Well, guys, I'm going to get off here. So I appreciate y'all didn't hang up on me. See you.
Cheers to that, Phil. Cheers to this Tennessee basketball roster, to the baseball team, to all involved. By the way, speaking of a little congratulations that are in order, we have a congratulations here on the show. A little bit of breaking news last night. If you're looking at the Periscope, you can see him celebrating right now.
No, you can't. He doesn't have a Periscope.
He doesn't have a camera.
Oh. Maybe you can see the arms. I don't know. We'll tell you what it is right after this.
With the first pick in the 2021 WNBA draft, the Dallas Wings select Charlie Collier from the University of Texas.
Let's go.
Way to go.
Let's go, Charlie.
Welcome. How does it feel to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft, Charlie?
Well, you know, I'm just excited. I think it's a great opportunity to go to a place that really excites me in Dallas, Texas. You know, I think, you know, despite them having the number one pick, there's a lot to build around on that roster. And, you know, I think with my skills and versatility, I get to stay in the state that I played college ball in. We can make this a good team.
Ian, thank God.
Yes, that's true, actually.
Or your mama.
Yeah. I would like to thank, God, my mama.
Uh-huh.
Grandmama Collier.
Yes.
Your coach.
Grand, all of them.
Excuse me, Rick Butler, Fox Sports Knoxville. You know, there's been a lot of great Dallas basketball players going there recently, most notably Luka Doncic. How do you feel about some calling you the Luka Doncic of the WNBA?
I think they should, they'll start calling him the Charlie Collier of the NBA pretty soon.
Good one. And that is very cool.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. This is Charlie's last week on the show.
Nope.
We've had to keep it quiet, knowing that he's been going through these WNBA workouts, these training regimens. A lot has been going into this, but we're very proud. I could almost tear up right now, almost.
You know, I'm going to do it for you guys. I'm going to every time I go out there and score, it'll be for Brandon Orrick.
I thought you said you guys.
Yes,
you guys.
And Rick and Chance, but honestly, just mostly Brandon Orrick.
Well,
thanks. Means a lot.
Next time, just say you're going to do it for Brandon then.
Yeah, don't
give me the charity. I won't do it for you too. Give it all to Brandon.
Oh,
I'll
man.
Give you guys my rebounds, but baskets are for Brandon Orrick.
Renaya Davis gets drafted in the top 10 in the WNBA draft yesterday. She goes to the Lynx. Look, I'm only saying it because Lady Vol. That's it. Congratulations to a Lady Vol. Ain't nothing wrong with saying that. Also, how about this? Vol tennis, the men's and the women's team have combined. Yeah. How about this? To go a perfect 24-0 at home this season, undefeated.
That's actually really impressive.
I know.
Yeah, how about that?
Go Vols.
How about that?
Our golf teams are looking decent, I think, too.
What are we doing?
Hey, we got the SEC Golf Championships coming up the next 2 weekends.
Yeah. Everyone but the big hitters. Guys, Tennessee baseball welcomes in Vanderbilt to the stadium tonight. Number 2 team in the country, Tennessee number 3. Did you guys happen to hear Coach Vitello on the drive yesterday? He had a couple
missed
of good
him.
Quotes. Talking a little bit about the game, didn't really reveal too much, although there was a point in the interview where they completely stopped talking about baseball, and they started talking about what seemed to me like maybe a drunken trip in France where Coach Vitello was singing, belting, wailing The Offspring in an American bar in France where he said he was very impressed with how much of the lyrics the French folk knew. Great little story right in the middle of the Vanderbilt interview.
The Offspring song?
Yeah.
What was he singing? Pretty Fly for a White Guy?
He didn't say, but I have
I
my
bet
suspicions.
That's probably what it was. He's around my age. He's actually younger, but I bet you that was the one.
That's what I...
That's like their biggest hit.
Yeah.
It's a give it to me, baby.
Uh-huh. So either way, right?
What is going on?
So that happened in the middle of the interview yesterday.
I have died.
It was very weird, much like that was right here in the middle of our conversation as well. But he also had some good stuff to say about this upcoming weekend. And really, to me, the most notable thing was He actually talked about Tennessee's familiarity with Kumar Rocker. Tennessee cannot go into this weekend scared of their two pitchers, Leiter and Rocker. They are a two-headed monster to the likes that college baseball has not seen in a long time. Actually, when you look at it, though, Rocker's numbers are... Rocker is no doubt the number two player in college baseball right now. But they're not as good as the other kid. But Tony Vitello said this. Let me find the exact quote right here. He said, "Our entire focus right now is getting to know our opponent, our starter, and their starter that we'll face on Friday. We're more familiar with Rocker because we faced him once. He's also trained here in town a little bit. So our guys have bumped into him before. If you go back to when his dad, Tracy Rocker, was the defensive line coach here at Tennessee, it makes sense that he would have Knoxville connections, that he would be around the baseball community, the athletics department here at Tennessee. So that, to me, was the most interesting thing, I think, just coming out of that interview, the fact that, yeah, he's putting it right out there. Hey, we are more familiar with Rocker, and I do think that they note that going into the series.
God, Rocker is just... He's amazing.
Yeah, they're both.
He was
so
a
good.
Really good football player too in high school, like middle linebacker, knocking people's heads off. But you know, I think when you're talking
Don't
about
do
the
it, Brandon,
you're gonna be pulling for Kumar Rocker this weekend. Chance?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. When Brandon was hating on me for rooting
he's a
for
really
Kumar.
Nice guy. He's kind of a great guy.
Well, it's you know what? I don't care this weekend.
But this
he's
weekend
the
he's
enemy.
The enemy. Exactly. But from an approach perspective, you know, I think you saw Georgia do it and find success against Rocker last weekend. But when you're getting a leader in Rocker, you want to just be aggressive early in the count. You know, you want to wait until you get – like, you want to attack the first fastball you see. You do not want to let them get into their off-speed stuff because it is nasty. You know, I think you're hoping that on one of the first two pitches is a fastball and you're swinging.
So – I think it's a really interesting thing with those pitchers, but do you think that that plays against the strengths of Tennessee's offense, though? You know, we know that Tennessee is one of the best teams in the country at drawing walks, at just getting on base, at doing whatever it takes to get on base. They're actually one of the lowest percentage teams, I guess, overall and as a whole to try to attack the first pitch of the count. I think it's a very Tony Vitello mindset to work the count, to work the pitcher again. If you're in the top two or three in the SEC, I'll pull up the stat, and walks drawn so far this year. And that's been a big part of Tennessee's offense. So I'll have to ask Logan about that as well, because I do agree, Charlie. I think that you have to go into the mindset that you want to attack these pitchers. But at the same time, if I'm Tennessee, I don't want to get too far away from what's worked. And what's worked so far is doing anything it takes to get on base, including being one of the best teams in the country, if not the best team in the conference, at drawing those walks. Any run this weekend is going to be valuable. When you're watching these three games over the next 3 days, every single run that you see cross the plate for Tennessee is going to be incredibly important because they're going to be hard to come by. Now, granted, not if you ask Georgia last weekend, but normally, if you ask anybody else.
They're opening the stadium up more, correct? Like 50%?
I didn't hear anything about that. I guess that makes sense.
I don't know the exact number on it, but Coach Vitello did say during the interview yesterday, I don't have the exact quote, but he did say, you know, hey, I'm in my office right now, kind of hanging out. I'm looking outside in the window, and I'm looking at them putting up bleachers in right field right now.
Well, take this for what it's worth. From WTK 90.3, The Rock.
The Rock!
Vol Baseball to open up Lindsey Nelson Stadium to 50% capacity for the Vandy series this weekend.
There you go.
Wait, so we're putting bleachers in right field?
That's what Vitello said yesterday, Rick.
That is awesome. Yeah. That's where the students need to be. They need to be out in right field. They need to be able to bring their own beer and harass the people.
Yeah, man, you got the legends taking the head off the first baseman. You got all the rest of the student section in right field. That is a miserable day on the right field line. I would have to imagine. I cannot wait to see what the crowd is like. Those boys are going to be rowdy. And I got to say, they have stepped up their game each and every weekend. I feel like you hear more and more and more about them. You start seeing the crowd grow on TV. Like when we had gone to the Florida series. No, what series? LSU. When we got into the LSU series, I think it was there were what, like eight of them. When I had interviewed them maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was, I believe, 8 to 12. And now you turn on the Tennessee game later tonight, and you're going to see 25 of them right there all piled up around the first base dugout. So it's really exciting. I'm excited to see the crowd, and I think this is going to be a series that especially, if they were not there already, puts Tennessee on the map.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is where you solidify yourselves, man.
Look, the nation's tuning in.
And did somebody say right field?
I just took up my place in right field.
Oh, stop this.
Beautiful.
Stop this.
Playing right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Playing right.
Social media is.
Don't get it twisted. This rap is mine. It's not a game. What you heard.
Come on. That gets you excited on a Friday. Hey, we're doing good here. Hopefully you're doing good as well.
What was that?
Like that?
God, we can't even cut it. Dang it.
Give it to you.
So good. Because one it was more. Good. It was high quality.
It can only be done when nobody's expecting
Man.
It. Can't do it on the spot.
Well done. Well done.
I just love it when I can crack Brandon up and break him from character.
Breaking Brandon is always my favorite thing.
Bill Hader on SNL of the show. Brandon, you have told me before in the past that you consider yourself an expert in the science of walk-up kind of pregame music and how it affects a player.
I have?
Yes.
No.
You've told me this before?
No. This is news to me.
No. I actually know this to be a fact as well.
Okay.
So you are an expert on kind of knowing the science between how your practice music and things like that can relate to your play on the field, on the court, whatever it may be. So let me propose a situation here.
All right.
Vitello said in the interview yesterday, they were talking about music, and he said, he's talking about the players at practice earlier that day, their pregame music of choice leading up to the biggest baseball series this city has seen in over 3 decades was a Justin Bieber playlist. He said, we had a lot of Justin Bieber in practice today, per the team's request, to each their own, I guess. He sounded extremely disappointed. So where does that land on the scientific meter of success?
I mean, for me, it would be very low. Very low.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Very low.
You don't think a little baby is getting you in the tune?
No.
A little old school?
No.
What is your, what would your, have you ever thought about this question? What would your walk-up song of choice be? Yeah. Yeah.
Broke him again.
Where
him
are
again.
We? Where are we? The Tennessee baseball practice field.
I'm going to need somebody to go back and pull this little clip of Chance dancing.
Make it a joke.
My bullpen walkout song in high school was Afternoon Delight.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. That's a
it's a good one.
That's strong. That's a strong candidate. That's a good one. Chance, what about you? Do you ever have a good walk up?
So in my heyday, it was a lot of that was when No Limit Records were really coming on, Master P. So mine was The Last Don. The walk up music.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
Wait, that is one? Strong too.
The Last Don by Master P.
Oh. Yeah.
It's got a nice beat.
It gets you hyped up.
It's got a nice beat. Oh yeah. Immediately in the first couple lyrics it gets you hyped up.
I'm embarrassed of mine, but Brandon, did you have anything of note?
I don't know. Maybe Layla.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a damn good one. That song always gets me pumped.
I must be thinking of the wrong thing. I'm thinking of a slow song right now. No.
No.
No, it ain't slow. It starts out
okay
with a pretty good riff.
It's from Goodfellas, the scene where they're all dead.
That's right.
That's it is. You got people hanging in the meat locker.
Yeah.
You got some gunshot victims in a car.
For me personally, like, I never wanted a fast hype song. Like, I don't know. I always felt like, for batting, yeah, but like for pitching, I don't know. I felt like the more calm and like fun you're having,
you didn't. The better it goes. Can't believe you had your walkout. Your bullpen was afternoon delight. I mean, like,
would I just be sitting there like I'd be laughing on the mound?
Some of the
I'd
great
be talking to the,
some of the great closers like you know Trevor Hoffman and Troy Percival. Trevor Hoffman was Hell's Bells when he used to come out for the Padres.
Mariana, Enter Sandman.
Yeah, Enter Sandman.
That's easily the most iconic.
Why'd you stop, Charlie?
Keep going. Yeah. In the night of day.
Keep going. You know the song.
And we know the night is always going to be there anyway.
Keep going.
Why?
You know the song.
Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together makes a spark.
We're just going to go out to this.
And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting.
Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
Good job, Charlie. I'm telling you, this barbershop quartet is really starting to get worked on.
Where the hell else are you going to find entertainment like
None
this
of the
on
other
Friday
shows.
Morning?
None of the other shows are doing this.
Why did that just happen?
They don't go full barbershop quartet. You know why? Because we're hitting our stride.
That was perfect.
That was awesome content. I don't care who you are.
You know, we really could start a barbershop quartet.
We've been talking about it.
We could.
Charlie's going to be our alto or soprano. Yeah, soprano, right?
Is that the high one?
That's the high one.
Yeah, soprano.
I have to be the high one?
You're going to have to carry it.
Oh. Oh.
Wow.
Oh, here's some afternoon delight.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
What's going on, boys?
Oh, wow.
Did you like our singing?
Are y'all on commercial break?
No.
Oh, oh really?
We got about a minute left.
We're on the air.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Oh, glad you came in here and edited.
Aloha. Greetings and salutations.
What's up, Bear?
Not much. What's going on with you guys?
We've just been singing a little.
I'm a little nervous now. I thought I looked at the clock wrong. I thought for sure you guys were on.
We're having a little karaoke session here at the in a Friday morning.
God,
it was pretty good.
It's Friday vibes.
You think it was your phone?
Friday, I'm not sure.
You're gonna walk in here and pick up the phone like, oh, it's not mine.
I'm trying to figure out who messes with the knobs. That's why I'm here. Conducting an investigation.
You're conducting an investigation on Chance Collins.
The knobs.
Is that what you're saying right
now? Down there.
The guy who trained him.
Yeah, I know. What?
The student is becoming a master.
I turned mine up and then turn it down.
Okay.
Oh, so he's really investigating Chuck here?
No. Mm. The target of the investigation never knows they're the target of the investigation.
I have been using our air.
It's very James Bond.
Our air purifier. Yeah, yeah. Please do. Oh, yeah. Please do.
Thank you. It helps me out a lot. Allergies.
Well, yeah. I mean, if everybody just leave it running, it'd be a lot healthier.
Bear, we were just talking a second ago about Vitello and him belting the Offspring in a French bar. What song do you think he was going with?
Whichever one we were playing.
Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Give it to me, baby.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.